Psalm 46. Our children's church is going to be hitting out the side door. They'll go over there, have a great time there for all of our children that way. But Psalm 46 is where we want to be here for all of you folks. If you need a Bible, our ushers are coming down and have Bibles that you can use while you're here in the service. And if you need one, turn to page 621. 621, that ought to find you on the right page. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, page 621. Well, good to see you all. I missed last week, and I thank Pastor Glover for filling in for me there, kind of holding down the fort, but I'm glad to be back with you all. Went to California to see my daughter graduate, and that was a lovely graduation service and really Christ-honoring, and I think every graduation service ought to be Christ-honoring. We've got a graduation coming up here in a few weeks here at our school, and I pray that first and foremost to be Christ-honoring in all things. And so had a great time there, but glad to be back with you here. Good to see some of our college students at home with us. Where'd Britton go? I saw her a minute. She's in the nursery? Okay. All right. Well, we had her for a minute and then she lost her again. Anyways, but she's in the nursery. Good to have Caleb home. Britton was here last Sunday, but I wasn't. So I didn't get to say a word to her that way. So great to have our college students home. Caleb will be home just for a couple weeks and then he's off to the Bill Rice Ranch and serving there a second summer, and so I wish him well in all of that. Psalm 46, if you found your place, could you stand with me here in Psalm 46? Look at verse number 10. In Psalm 46 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Would you notice it one more time? Let me read it one more time. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we delve into your scriptures, Lord, as we see this admonition that has been given here here in the book of Psalms. And Father, I pray that we just get a hold of it. Father, I know that there's probably some others that need to get a hold of this verse. Father, there's probably some others of us that need to get a hold of this verse. I pray that you'd help us as we see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. Mother's Day is a special day. It's a day set aside on our calendars to recognize the mothers that we have, the ones who raised us, the ones who have sacrificed for us, the ones who did for us what no one else could do or would do. That's our mothers. The stores are filled with cards at this time of year with inspirational quotes that make us feel warm and fuzzy on a day like Mother's Day. And maybe some of you mothers have already received some of those cards. Maybe some are still coming, but I picked out a few that I liked here. It says this, "For every dream that has taken flight, there is a mother who believed." That was an interesting one that I thought I saw there. Another one says this, a mother teaches us that there's no end at all to what love can do. Here's another one. She's a woman of purpose, compassion, and strength. My hero, my mom. In other words, motherhood is tough. Moms are tougher. And then, of course, there's the funny ones. Says this, a mom's job is to feed you, clothe you, and make you afraid to touch anything. That describes some of our mothers here. And here's another one. When a mom loses her mind, she can be pretty sure a teen took it. Maybe exactly what happened there to some of our mothers. But truly, everyone loves their mother. But as we come to this verse here in Psalm chapter number 46, I want to spend some time this morning, and I want all of our mothers to realize that if you're going to be a mother that you should be, you need to learn the truth of this verse. You need to get a hold of this verse. For our young girls, they need to get a hold of this truth that's here in our verse this morning. And while I'm certainly directing our message to our ladies, to our mothers here this morning, this verse is not gender specific. This verse would relate to all of us. And so I hope that all of us would pay attention and see what the Lord would have us here in this verse. It seems that everyone is being pulled in a variety of directions, multiple directions. For our ladies, their days are often filled with work, with soccer practice for the kids, with cooking, with making sure the kids have their baths and get to bed at a decent hour and all of those things that go with it. But then they also try to do things for themselves. They want to go for a walk occasionally that way. They want to do some other things. For instance, the time stealers of Facebook and Instagram. They want to spend a few minutes in that. Matter of fact, a 2021 survey found that 95% of people spend more than 1 hour of their day, every day, on their phones in unwork-related activities. Half of those people, almost 50% of those that responded on this survey, said they spend between 5 and 6 hours a day on their phone in non-work-related activities. In addition to all those things, there's the one-eyed monster that is in many of our homes there. It's known as the television, and its endless cycle of game shows and movies and sports and all the variety of things that are on it. Music gets constantly pumped into our ears through the headphones, or I should say, I'm in 2024, it's the earbuds now that are always there in our ears. And I'm just letting you know that there's all kinds of things today that are vying for our attention. There are all kinds of things today that people are being occupied with, and I'm not saying that there's not a need for many of those. There is. But I am saying this, sometimes we just need to stop. Sometimes we just need to be still. Sometimes we just need to be still and know that He is God. We look in the text in Psalm chapter number 46 here, and as I look in the text, I see problems, I see difficulties, I see that there's a host of issues going on here in Psalm chapter number 46, and yet he comes down to near the conclusion of this psalm, and he says, "Be still and know that I'm God." If I'm looking or if I'm thinking about the fact that this psalm was written nearly 3,000 years ago, I would look at this and I'd say, you know, it seems like the truth of this verse is needed more today than it was 3,000 years ago when it was written. Now it is not all the calamity, although we'll see in just a minute the calamity that was going on here in this psalm. It is by choice that we have many ladies, many even men, who are going many different ways and being pulled many different directions. We need to know the truth of be still and know that I'm God. Let me ask you, when was the last time that you were still? When was the last time that you did nothing but sit and think? I would think for many of us, it's probably been a long time. So look at this verse. Look at it with eyes of need here this morning, as it tells us in Psalm 46 and verse number 10. I want you to see three things. Number one, I want you to see this. There's a demanded rule that is given to us. The verse starts out in verse number 10 and says these two words, be still, be still. As I mentioned to you a minute ago, the psalmist is writing in a time of crisis. And I don't know what the crisis is, but I certainly know there's a crisis going on. Look at verse 3 here in the text. Verse 3 says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swell thereof, Selah. In other words, there's calamity going on. This waters are roaring, the Bible says there. The mountains are shaking that way. And whether figuratively or literally, he's bringing across the idea that there's this great difficulties, great problems that are going on there, calamity that's happening. Look at verse 6 in the text. It says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, He uttered his voice and the earth melt. That is, the heathen are doing what? The Bible says they're raging. They're causing problems. They're speaking against, and they're trying to do everything that they can to cause difficulty there. And yet the psalmist comes to this point and says, be still. Be still. You know, that's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do when there's problems going on. When wrong is happening, what is our instant reaction? Well, it's to act. It's to try to correct. It's try to do something there. When things seem to be coming unraveled at the seams there, we want to get on the move. We want to accomplish something. We want to use our strength. We want to use our ingenuity. We want to come up with our solution to our problems that we're facing. But God says this, be still. Look at a couple of things. Number one, look at this. Look at the aim of these words. The words be still here in our text mean this, to be slackened. It's the idea of going limp. It's putting down rather than taking up. You see, in the middle of calamity, here's what we need to know. We need to understand. We need to set down. We need to let things go, is what the text is telling us here. When it seems like everything is vying for our busyness in life, here it is. Be still. Be still. When there's problems that we're facing, be still. When there's a problem child, when there's a problem in the marriage relationship, when there's difficulty at work, be still. You know, that's the exact opposite of what we want to do. We're filled with, when problems come up, we're filled with fear and fretting and impatience and wanting to strike out or wanting to react to the situation. But here it is, be still. Hold your place in Psalm. Turn over to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 4, page 1260. Philippians chapter number 4. And look at verse number 6, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, page 1260. And look what the Bible says here. In Philippians 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says these words, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When the Bible uses the words be careful, it says, it's the idea, don't be anxious. Don't have your stomach all tied up in knots. Don't be so worried and concerned. Here it is. He says here, give it to God in prayer. Go to God and tell God what's going on here. And look at verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you will, can I say, here it is in Philippians chapter number 4. He's saying, be still. Give it to God. And God will give you peace. God will give you rest. In Matthew chapter number 11, flip over there. Matthew chapter number 11, page 1011. Page 1011, Matthew chapter number 11. We see these words in verse number 28. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28. Page 1011, the Bible says this in Matthew 11 and verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy laden. And he says this, I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm just telling you that God doesn't want us to be all filled with anxieties and all filled with fears and all filled with troubles there. God wants us to rest in him. We can know the peace that we have through him. We can know that rest that we have. We don't have to be the worry wart in life. We can have the rest. We don't have to go through life's struggles. And it seems that everyone is going through some struggles that way. But we don't have to fight it. We don't have to struggle through it. We don't have to exert our way. We can let God be God. Psalm 46, if you turn back there, Psalm 46 in our text, and look at verse number 8. In Psalm 46, in verse number 8, again, I mentioned to you that there's calamity going on here in this psalm. There's difficulty, there's problems. We don't know exactly the limit of those problems, and we don't know exactly what's going on. But I want you to see what the psalmist says in verse number 8. In Psalm 46, in verse number 8, he says this, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire." I'm just telling you this, we have a whole host of problems in our world, but here's what we need. Be still and know there's a God. Be still and know there's a God who can take care of the problems, who can take care of the difficulties. So we see in Psalm 46 here, the aim is to be still, slacken, don't struggle. But then I want you to think about, secondly, the areas that we need to be still in. What are the areas that we need to be still in? How about number one, we need to be still in our thoughts. Be still in our thoughts. If you're the average woman, your thoughts are going all the time. They're going 1,000 miles an hour. Our men get tired just thinking about all the thoughts of our women and all the things that are going through their mind. And my wife says to me sometimes, "Didn't you think about it?" And I said, "No, I haven't thought about it. It just hasn't gone through my mind. Haven't had that." There. And our women are constantly thinking about things that way. But can I say, when's the last time you just put your thoughts on God? Not the cares of the world. Not what's going on there. Sometimes our women, well, we can't sleep. And because why? You're thinking about all the things that are going on. And you're trying to plot, and you're trying to plan, you're trying to devise, you're trying to come up with a solution. And this verse says, just stop, be still, put your thoughts on God. The Bible will tell us in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2, be not conformed to this world. He's talking to Christians, believers. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your thoughts, by what God wants to put in instead of the world constantly put in. See, we need to have that. He goes on there in that verse, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, how can you know the will of God in your life? Renew your mind. Have the mind of God. Put your thoughts on the things of God. You know, maybe it's the thoughts of anger that we need to be still from. Look at Psalm 37 here. Psalm 37, and look at verse number 7, just a few pages back, 616 in your Bibles there. Psalm 37, and verse number 7. The Bible says this, look at this. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So he says in verse number 7, just rest in the Lord. You've got people that are out there that are causing all kinds of problems, all kinds of difficulties. But look what he says in verse number, the next verse here, verse number 8. He says this, cease from anger and forsake wrath and fret not thyself in any wise. Or in any wise to do evil. What's he telling us? Rest in the Lord. Stop. Be still. Think about God. Don't put your thoughts on wrath and boy, I'm going to get even to that guy. And boy, how can I defeat him? And how can I put that away? No, no, no. Let's put some anger thoughts away and rest on the Lord. Maybe it's the thoughts of fear that we need to be still from. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7 says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Maybe it's the thoughts of pride. Sometimes we can have ladies, even men, that are filled with pride. And sometimes we need to set that pride aside. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, ladies think, and sometimes men think, and certainly we all have this issue there, that we can think, boy, I can take care of the problem. I can take care of the difficulty. I've got the answers. Can I say you don't have the answers? God does. The Bible would say in Proverbs 16 and verse number 18, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Maybe it's the thoughts of pride that we need to put away. How about this? Not only our thoughts need to be renewed, not only our thoughts need to be on the person of God, but how about our actions? Our actions. Sometimes we cannot find time in our schedule to be still. For some of us, we might actually have to pencil it in. We might have to get the day planner out, and we might say, hey, for this 15 minutes or this 30 minutes or this period of time, I'm going to be still. Maybe we'd have to get up a little bit earlier to be still. Maybe we need to go to bed a little earlier to be still. Maybe we need to take lunch hour or a few minutes at the lunchtime to say, I'm going to be still. But I'm just telling you that we need to put some things away, and we need to just be still and focus on our God. Maybe I can say this. Maybe we need to put the media away to be still. Maybe we need to put some non-essential work away to be still. Maybe we need to put the entertainment away to be still. Maybe it's time to put the sports away, or the music away, or the art classes away, or any of 100 different things that occupy our time, and just be still. Not only do we see the demanded rule that he gives us in Psalm 46 here to be still, but I see a desired reason. That is, he's not just giving us the command. There's a reason for it. There's a rationale for it. There's an aim that he wants to make for us. And he says here, be still and know that I am God. You know, if you sit still and just think about God for just 5 minutes, get to know God in a greater way. Just understand that God is, and what God does. The word God in the text here, be still and know that I'm God. The word God there is the word Elohim in the Hebrew. It literally means the strong one. Can I tell you that our God is strong? Can I tell you that there's nobody greater than our God? Look at here in verse number 1 of the text, in Psalm 46 here, verse number 1. God is our refuge, and what is he? Strength, the Bible says here. He goes on, a very present help in trouble. Look at verse 6. If you look at the end of the verse, in verse number 6, he uttered his voice. Who is? God uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Talk about strong. Talk about great power. Look at verse number 8. Again, he says, come behold the works of the Lord. In other words, just take note of the works of the Lord. It says here, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Boy, he's overcome all those difficulties and problems. Verse 9, he maketh wars to cease. That's our God. Our God is strong enough to take the wars of men and to bring them to a close, to bring them to a cease, the Bible says. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. I'm just saying that with God, there's all power. With God, there's strength. With God, we see his presence. And he says, be still and know that I'm God. Can I give you a couple things you ought to know about God? Number one, God's your Savior. God's your Savior. Look over in the book of Titus, Titus chapter number 3. Page 1284. Titus chapter number 3. Look at verse number 4. Page 1284. 1284. Titus chapter number 3. And look at verse number 4. The Bible says this. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Did you catch it there? But after that, the kindness and love of who? God our Savior. You know who God is? Be still and know that I'm God. Know what about God? Know that God is your Savior. See, that's what the Bible is telling us here in this verse, that God is our Savior. Can I tell you this? Every one of us needs to be saved. Everyone who's born, all of our mothers here need to be saved. All of our fathers here need to be saved. All of our folks that aren't married need to be saved. Why? Because the Bible tells us that we're all under the penalty of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 tells us this, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That is, here, we all have a death sentence upon us, and it's because we've all sinned. But I'll tell you what, there's a way to get out of the death penalty. There's a way to get out of the death sentence that the Bible talks about there, and the person of God is the one who has the power to do it. See, we need to understand that. We need to realize that if it were not for God, every single one of us would be facing death. And that, and Romans chapter 5, it's not talking about necessarily just death physically, although that's part of the curse. That's part of the result of sin is a physical death there. But he's talking about something even worse than a physical death, and that's a spiritual death. The Bible talks about it in the book of Revelation, calls it the second death. That is, if it weren't for God, if it weren't for the action of God, the power of God, what God did for us, we would all face that second death in a lake of fire in a place we call hell today. My friend, but God. God did something. And can I tell you this? God didn't need our help to do it. Matter of fact, God doesn't want our help in doing it. Matter of fact, if we try to help God out to save us, we're going to nullify what he's doing. See, look what he says in verse number 5. Verse number 5, he says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done. How is God our Savior? He's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy he saved us. You know, the Bible says this, it's not by what we did, it's not by what we do, it's not by the power that we muster up, it's not by the good works that we accomplish. The Bible uses the word our righteousness here, the things that we try to do that are right before God, and we try to be pleasing to God in by our actions, by our works. And God says, hey, that's not what's going to save you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But here's what saves us, his mercy. His mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is simply this, not getting what you do deserve. You know what every single one of us deserve? We deserve the second death. We deserve to spend an eternity in hell. But God says, I'm going to show them mercy. And he said, they don't have to go to hell. They don't have to go to hell. They don't have to spend an eternity there. Look, how does that happen? Look in verse number 6, right here. Which he shed on us abundantly. Now look at this. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. How did he show that mercy to us? Here it is, through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a student of the Word, if you were catching some words as you went there, you would look at verse number 6 and you'd say, hey, wait a second, Pastor. It says here, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verse 4 said it was God, our Savior. Which one is it? And I would have to respond to you by saying this. Yes, it's both. That is, God and Jesus are the same, aren't they? If God's our Savior, guess what? Jesus is our Savior. By the way, if Jesus is our Savior, guess who's our Savior? God is our Savior. Why? Because Jesus is God. John chapter number 10 and verse number 30 tells us, I and my Father are one. That is, both of these are one individual. That is, we call it the Trinity. We call it the deity of Christ there, that they are together that way, that they're one together. That is who Jesus is. But I want you to remember this. What did Jesus do for us on the cross? He died for us, didn't he? He died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, not because he did wrong, because he didn't do anything wrong. What did Jesus ever do wrong? The answer is nothing. But he died because of our sin. Look at early in the text in Titus chapter number 2. I'm sorry, Titus chapter number 2. Look at verse number 13. It says here, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all what? Iniquity, that's our sin. He could redeem us from that sin. Why? Because he became our, he went to the cross for us. He died in our place that we might be able to have eternal life. That's why Jesus was going to the cross. And my friend, if it weren't for Jesus, all of us would face that second death. All of us would spend an eternity in hell. But my friend, here it is. God wants to show you grace. Look at verse 7. Back in Titus chapter 3, verse 7. Titus 3, verse 7, it says here, that being justified, now look at this, by his grace. Grace is the flip side of mercy. Whereas mercy is not getting what you do deserve, grace is getting something you don't deserve. So we have here, God's going to show us grace. That is, God's not going to send us to hell. That's mercy. But God's going to give us eternal life in heaven. That's God's grace. And God says, I'm going to show them grace. I'm going to show them all these things. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross of Calvary. That Jesus Christ died for their sins on the cross of Calvary. And my friend, that's the only thing. That's the only way that anybody's going to go get to heaven. It's not that we did some righteousness. It's not that we did something on our own selves. It's what Jesus did. And coming to believe on him, coming to trust his payment for our sin, God says, I'm going to shower on you mercy and grace. His mercy and his grace. Now, I bring that up because of this. Ladies, can I say this? Be still and know that I'm God. What does that mean? Know God. What do I want to know about God? Know he's my Savior. You say, Pastor, I've known that for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years or however long it's been. You say, Pastor, I've known that. Here it is. I want you to realize when you stop and you think about God, our Savior, and how great a fact that he saved our souls and that we will not spend an eternity in hell, but rather we'll have in heaven. Can I say that ought to thrill your soul? That ought to bring great rejoicing. You ought to just stop and be thinking about that and just say, boy, God is just so good, and he's good because he saved me. I think about Acts chapter number 8. In Acts chapter number 8, we find the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch was somebody who went to Jerusalem seeking God. He went to Jerusalem, and he did not find God, but he was seeking God. But he's returning home, and he's reading his Bible, and he's trying to find God, and he's trying to have a relationship with God, and he has none of that. And God speaks to an evangelist by the name of Philip and says, Philip, I got a job for you. And Philip, he sends Philip out to the wilderness there where this eunuch is driving across the plains, if you will. And Philip comes, and Philip sees him and sees that he's reading his Bible. He says, hey, man, can I explain to you what you're reading? And Philip gets up in the chariot, and Philip shares with that man the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says this after Philip leaves. It says this about the Ethiopian eunuch, and he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. My friend, do you rejoice in the fact that you don't have to spend an eternity in hell to have heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for you? Well, you ought to go away rejoicing. That ought to just thrill your soul. Not only do you think, hey, know God. How do I know God? Number one, know them as your Savior. Number two, know his power. Know his power. That's what Psalm 46 is getting back at there. It's all the different calamities, all the different problems that are going on. And sometimes, can I tell you this, ladies, sometimes the problems seem too great. Sometimes they seem to be monumental difficulties and problems that way. And we say, boy, how can I get through it? Or how can these problems be answered? And here's the answer. God is our power. God's stronger than any power you got. Psalm 46 and verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Ladies, I don't know what's burdening your heart today, but I know this. There's one who's greater than your burden. There's one who's greater than your problem. There's one who can conquer your problem. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 37, the angel is speaking to Mary there, and he says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Look over in Psalm 147. Psalm 147, and look at verse number 5. Psalm 147 and verse number 5. And page 670 if you need it. Psalm 147 and verse number 5, the Bible says this, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. What is God? God's of great power. That's what he says. In Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20, the Bible says this, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to his power that worketh in us. I'm just telling you, ladies, you've got a great power. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got God as your Savior here. Here it is. You've got a great power in you. And maybe you're facing that wayward child. Can I tell you? I'm telling you, God's got power. Maybe you're facing financial problems. Can I tell you? God's got power. Maybe you're facing problems at work or problems with the family. I'm telling you, God's got power. And no matter what you're facing, and no matter how impossible or insurmountable the problem seems, God is powerful. See, we serve the God who made the universe. That's power. We serve the God who took down Goliath. That's power. We serve the God who parted the Red Sea. That's power. We serve the God who raised up Jesus from the dead. That's power. I'm just saying, if we got a God with that kind of power, he's bigger than any of your problems. He's bigger than any of your difficulties. Well, know him as Savior. Know him as your power. Can I give you a third thing? Know that he's always right. Know that God is always right. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 4 says this: he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Genesis 18 and verse number 25 asks the rhetorical question. The question is obviously looking for a yes answer, but the question says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Can I tell you? Yes, he will. And there may be some lady here kind of struggling in their mind because of what happened and a loved one that was taken away from them. And they might be going through difficulty and they might have that struggle with God that way. I'm just telling you here, ladies, God's always right. God's always right. It was Abraham Lincoln who said these words: my concern is not whether God is on our side. He said, my greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. And he is. He is. The list could go on and on about the problems that we faced and the suffering that maybe we're going through. And we have a tendency as humans sometimes to say, why God? Why me? Why am I going through that? Just telling you, God's right. You say, Pastor, I don't understand how he can be right. Can I give you four things? Maybe to help you a little bit. Why am I going through it? Number one, so God can show you grace. So God can show you his magnificent grace. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 9, God said to Paul, as he tried to as Paul asked to have this thorn in the flesh removed, and the Bible says that Jesus says to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Maybe you're going through it. Why? Because God wants to show you grace to come through it. I think about secondly is this, so God can get the glory. So God can get the glory. In John chapter number 9, we're told of a story of a man who's sitting by the roadside, and he's blind. And his disciples ask, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents? Who did wrong? Because certainly that's the reason that this man is blind. And Jesus says these words: neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. For God's glory. You say, well, why me? How about this? So God can grow our faith. So God can grow our faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 3 says these words: we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. We just got done going through 2 Thessalonians in our evening services. And if you were with us in those studies, you would say the Thessalonians were going through persecutions and they were going through problems. And yet he starts off in this book in 2 Thessalonians and says, you're going through this persecution, you're going through these problems, and it seems to be increasing the trials that you're going through. But God's doing it for a reason. He's increasing your faith. I think about this, number 4. Why am I going through it? How about so you can minister to others? You can minister to others. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 4 tells us this. Who comforted us, that is, God comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, or which are in any trouble. By the comfort, we ourselves are comforted of God. Why am I going through that? So you can be a comfort to somebody else who goes through it. So you can come along and be an encouragement to them. I was in California this past week, and as we were in California there, a tragic accident happened just before we actually arrived in California. We got there Saturday about, 11:30, something like that, in the morning that way, and came to find out when we met our daughter that an accident had happened, and the vice president's daughter was driving with two of her children. She was driving there in one of the local roads that way and had a car accident. That lady was killed. One of her daughters died a couple days later because of the result of the accident. The third daughter was going to be okay. She had a concussion, but she would be okay. And the church was reeling from that accident. And boy, you could just be a person who's saying, why us? Or that vice president would say, why me? Why did my daughter have to be taken? Why did my granddaughter have to be taken? And you can get so upset and so tied up in all of those things with the emotions and all that goes with it. And I'm just telling you, God's right. You may not know the reason right now, but just know God. Be still. And know that I'm God. Let me give you one last thing. There's a demanded rule. There's a desired reason. There is a decisive result. Look in Psalm 46. Look at verse number 10 again. He says, be still. He says, and know that I am God. Now here's what I want you to see. At the end of verse number 10 here, he says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, how we respond to problems and others see it. Can I tell you? It's all about exalting God. It's all about lifting up the person of God. My friend, our main duty is to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will never be accomplished through the busyness of life. You may be the best employee. You may be the best in a craft person. You may be the best in a lot of things. Maybe you're the best texter that's out there. But I'm just telling you, hey, I'm doing things to glorify God. That's where we need to be. Be still. Know that I'm God. And if we did that, I just believe there's more and more people that would come to God. That would be exalted, that would exalt God, that would lift up God, because we know God. We know Him personally. We know Him experientially. We know who our God is. Be still and know that He is God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the Word of God, for this simple verse. It tells us this great truth, Lord, that we need to be a person who is still, just focuses on You. Lord, that we know You. Father, we know so much about You. Father, we've just given a couple things that we need to know. Lord, may we know much. May we have this time set aside to know our God, know how great He is, know how wonderful God is. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe somebody's here this morning and you would just say, Pastor, I've never come to believe on the work of Jesus Christ to save me from my sins that I might have a home in heaven. Maybe you've never come to believe that Jesus is the way to be able to have eternal life. Maybe you thought, hey, it's by my works, maybe my righteousness, by the things that I've accomplished, that can get me heaven. And you realize here this morning, Pastor, it's not any of those things. It's what God did. He sent His Son to die for my sins. the cross of Calvary that I might have eternal life. Pastor, I've never come to believe on Jesus Christ to be my way of salvation, my way to have heaven. But Pastor, right here, right now, I'm going to believe on Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust him to be my way to heaven. And God's promises, he'll be my Savior. He'll save me from a penalty in hell. He'll give me eternal life in heaven for all of eternity. If that's you here this morning, I'd like to be able to pray for you. And the only way I know to pray for you is just to ask you to slip up your hand. Again, raising your hand is not going to get you to heaven. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus gave you the gift of eternal life. But you'd be saying here, Pastor, here's my hand. I'm believing on Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never done it before, but I'm doing it right here, right now. I want you to know about it so you can pray for me. Here's my hand. Anybody like that here this morning? I want to be able to pray for you. I'm believing on Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never done that before. I'm doing it right here, right now. It's not by what I do. It's by what Jesus did. Second question, simply this, addressed to our ladies, but certainly would be available for our men as well. How many here would just say, Pastor, I need to be still and know my God. I need to be still and know my God. Pastor, would you pray for me? Here's my hand. I need that. Yes, good. I see those hands. Anybody else? Pastor, I need to be still and know my God. Yes, I see a hand. Good. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen these hands. Father, I don't know each one here very well that's in our sanctuary here today. Father, I pray that if there's one that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, they come to understand that vital truth, that way of salvation through Christ and through Christ alone. But Father, there's many that have indicated here this morning their need to just be still and know God, know you. Father, I pray that we do this, just that. Father, you teach us some great things, some mighty things, some wonderful things. And Father, that through it all, you might be exalted. Lord, that's what we need. We need more than anything. I pray that we would. Lord, we thank you and we love you for who you are. Lord, for the power that you have. Father, that you're our Savior. Lord, that no matter what, you always do things right. Lord, help our folks to know that. Be encouraged by that as you give us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.